Dankie Pieter en Karin.
The last service last year, we showed a few pictures of the year. I know that you all weren't able to be there, so I'd just like to just show some of the pictures again for those of you not there. We had a good year last year. It was a tough year. Felt long at times, but it was a good year. It's a good year for us together. There's some of the mighty men from Tableview at the local Mighty Men. There's some of the wonderful women of Tableview at a women's event that they had at Taneriana's. And there's some of the delicious food that was up for grabs. So don't miss out on this year's ladies' events, ladies. That's what church looked like at the beginning of last year. You'll see there's some faces that you might not recognize anymore, or they've moved. But yeah, we've got basically a whole new church, if you look at a lot of those people there. But they're all doing well. Everyone that I know of is doing well. Okay. You guys know Nelius, he still visits from time to time. And faithful Emmy at the back. Thank you, Emmy. And even the kiddies have moved. But we've got a new batch coming in and growing. But there's our ushers hard at work. We had some guest speakers. There's one of them, Rodney Lloyd. We might see him again this year. And there was some baptisms last year. There's Rashani. And we had quite a few baby dedications. It was a fruitful year for the congregation. And, you know, if people don't want to visit us every Sunday, then we'll bring more babies to church. So, and towards the end of the year, we started the life cycle around Tableview, Jericho style. There's Johan praying hard. And see, if you join us, we do have pit stops. So you don't have to do 20 kilometers without stopping. Don't worry. And then got some bigger babies in church as well. No, that's from the picnic that we had. It was a beautiful day out at Eerstestien. Photos courtesy of Sam Hearn Photography. And it was a lot of fun had by all. And then the youth joined us, obviously, for that picnic as well, as you remember. And they had lots of fun, and we were able to bless them with some goodies for school for this year. And there's a bunch of cool kids that we have in church over here. Eh? It's great. So we look forward to resuming the youth services soon. We'll keep you posted. Still holiday time, and we won't have youth in the holiday time. But yeah, we had a great year last year. I experienced it as you know, quite challenging at times. I think many of you as well in my dealings with you have had that same experience, that it was a tough year. And I think that is across the board was the overwhelming response. But tough isn't always bad, because if we respond to it in the right way, we can actually grow in our character. And that's what God is interested in. Not interested in our comfort, but rather in our character. So besides that, I can't remember when I've been as excited about a new year as I have about this year. I think that 2012 is going to be a huge year, that the Lord's got massive plans for all of us and for this church. And yeah, that there's going to be lots of opportunities, also lots of challenges, but the Lord won't take us to anything that we are not prepared for. And if He takes us to it, He will get us through it. So we just need to hold fast onto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And because of that, I'd really like us to dedicate this year just corporately as at our first meeting, so we'll have communion together after the service, and just dedicate this year for us as a church family to the Lord, just seeking His blessing for what He would have us do together over here. And, you know, if the Lord doesn't go with us, then we're not interested in going, because it's really all about Him. We're not here for our own comfort. Otherwise, we'd be sitting in an air-conditioned room right now, okay? We grown tough here in Table View. We got to face the heat, and it's going to be a big year for us. Now, for tonight's message, the Lord reminded me of what happened in the book of Nehemiah, and I mentioned one or two things early last year about that. I want to mention a few other things tonight, just a few principles that I feel will be important for most of us for this year, just a few things that we can hopefully hang on to and you know, godly principles and promises to live by. You guys know the background of Nehemiah. It follows after the book of Ezra. Ezra went with the first group of Jews that went back to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple there after 70 years of captivity by the Babylonian king. And then Nehemiah was in the last group, and he really had a heart to see the wall rebuilt. Okay, he wasn't happy. He was really saddened by the state of the city and the wall in particular, and he made it his mission to rebuild the wall. But this wasn't an easy task, because they had enemies that didn't want to see the Jews settle in Jerusalem again, didn't want to see the Jews worshiping the Lord, and wanted to do everything in their power to stop this rebuilding. So it was really challenging circumstances, but the Jews prevailed. And I'd just like to take out a few verses, and as I said, just give through a few principles that I feel strongly on my heart will be useful and profitable for us for this year. And the first portion of scriptures from Nehemiah 2, verse 3-5. I said to the king, this is Nehemiah speaking, let the king live forever. He had been for a visit, and now he came to ask the king to be released in order to go and do the work in Jerusalem. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. Okay. Obviously, the mission was King Cyrus, the king of Persia, he had word from the Lord to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Seems like Nehemiah, you know, he's just focused now on just the building part of the mandate. The principle I'd like to give through, as you see there, is first the natural, then the supernatural. You know, so often if we have a look at our lives, there's areas of our lives that are a bit disorderly, or, you know, not quite as we would like. Maybe there's areas in our life where we've strayed, or where we've kind of just failed to commit to the Lord or ask the Lord for direction. And it's maybe an area that bothers us that we'd really like the Lord to come and sort of do a work there and sort out. And some things can be very practical in nature, you know, when it comes to our lives in that sense. I remember also Uncle Ronnie in my last discussion with him. Basically, it was the day before he passed, when he could still speak. And I asked him, you know, what would you preach on Sunday if you were at church on Sunday, you know, if you had an opportunity to bring the word? And he basically said that the crux of the matter was, make sure your things are in order, you know. And he was speaking about things in the natural as well. Obviously that your life is right with God, but he was also referring to things in the natural, that when it's your time to go, that you're ready to go, you know, that the family is not going to have to kind of pick up 100,000 pieces just to be able to carry on. But in the natural, there are things in place, there's a legacy, there's inheritance for the children, that, you know, your house is in order, literally and figuratively. So, you know, that really sticks by me. And it boils down to a lesson in stewardship, that everything in our lives belongs to God. Stewardship means to manage something that belongs to someone else. And so, that we have a look at our lives and see, maybe, you know, if Jesus was here right now, would he be happy with how I'm managing my finances? Would he be happy with how I'm running my household? Would he be happy with how I'm spending my time? Would he be happy with my choice of recreation? Would he be happy with this and that? There's many different things that it would encompass. You know, I've taken the bold step, although it's been a bit of a lifelong project, but I do feel great grace from the Lord, and I've taken a bold step to getting my garage spick and span, and I've invested in some plastic containers and some labels, and you know that you will be proud of my garage in a few weeks from now. Trust me, that's how hectic it is. This is a lifetime of things that have accumulated and so on. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a hoarder per se, but I do have some clutter in the garage that I'm very keen to get rid of. And so over the course of the next few weeks, that's going to be my little hobby in my free time. So I've already, as I said, I've taken a huge step and I've invested in some crates and containers. And I invite you to come. I don't want to put a time to it, but I'm in the process. I've made a start already. So, you know, for me, I know that's going to give me a little bit of peace of mind, because the garage is it's one of my happy places, but it's not as happy as it could be. Okay, when it's not like in good order and tidy. Maybe you've got a few things that you'd like to sort out, even in the natural, because it creates a platform for the supernatural. You know, it's difficult for us to be able to testify of certain things if the natural is not in order. It's difficult for us to expect God to bring the above and beyond the supernatural when the natural component that we are very much responsible for isn't in order. First the natural, then the supernatural. Nehemiah wanted to see the walls built so that the house of the Lord, the city of God, I mean, it was known as the place where God resided, the Ark of the Covenant and everything. That is where God lives. That it's a place that we can be proud of. You know, that it looks at the outset that we mustn't put bumper stickers on our cars, you know, saying that Jesus, you know, will give you new joy and he's your provider if, you know, your car's like a complete wreck and filthy, it hasn't been washed in a year and that kind of a thing. You know, then you mustn't put a bumper sticker on saying the Lord is your provider, because it's not a good testimony. So it really is about that testimony as well. I believe that, you know, whatever it might be for you, you want to start on a exercise regime, you want to start on a, you know, you want to relook at your budget, you want to, you know, whatever, pay a old outstanding loan or something like that. You want to do something like that this year. I believe that there's grace as we enter a new year to make that kind of a resolve and ask God's blessing on those plans. And that there's an extra measure of grace for us as we enter a new season. Because it very much is a new season for everyone. There's a new energy that one kind of has early in January. And we need to direct some of that towards God's plans for our lives. All right, so I want to encourage you, you know, there's extra grace to take on new commitments, to take on, you know, to resolve, to develop new habits, new reading habits, new whatever. You know, some of us have decided to read through the Bible in this year according to a certain reading program and so on. And, you know, if it happens that you miss a day or whatever, just get back on the horse the next day. Too often we get disillusioned and, you know, negative if you've made a resolution. You know, you can imagine how many people make New Year's resolutions to stop smoking. Lots. And then you can imagine how many people give up after a few weeks and just start smoking again. You know, if you slip up in an area where you made a commitment, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, to use that phrase. Just get back on the horse and give it another go. Keep going. Let this year be our year of endurance. Let this year be the year of commitment and dedication, of sticking to the task at hand, not losing sight. I mean, the commitments that we make should be right up there. There should be commitments that aren't easy. There should be, you know, the challenges that we set for ourselves, the goals that we set for ourselves should be high. You know, if it's low and easily attainable, you're probably not going to start in the first place because it just doesn't motivate you. It's not a challenge. Okay, you want to set it high, but depending on what the type of goal is, if there's a day that you are not sort of headed in that direction, don't give up. Take up the challenge again the next day. Remember that God's mercies on you every day. Okay, so I'm talking about a special measure of grace that I believe we have at the start of a year to ask the Lord's blessing on certain commitments that we'd like to make. But then every day God is with us and every day His mercy is new for us. You know, so that we can at the end of this year, it's about what you manage to accomplish, you know, over time. It's not just one day or whatever. At the end of this year, you'll be able to look back and you'll be so glad that you didn't just give up at the first sign of resistance or whatever. Alright. So, first the natural, then the supernatural. Ask God, what are the things in the natural that He would like you to change? Because Jesus is all about change. It's about us becoming more like Him. It's about us living like Jesus. And there's a lot of areas in our life where we don't live like Jesus. Let's ask Him, Lord, starting in the natural, you know, let me create the platform for the supernatural here. Starting in the natural, what are the things you'd like me to change? You know? Think about your relationships. I mean, that's all important. The relationships that you have with family and friends. You know, think about each person, how you treat each person. You know, maybe there's, you know, how can I be a bigger blessing to each person in my life? What are the things that they would enjoy, or how can I bless them? You know, and let's be resolute and deliberate in the things that we decide on in this year. And as I said, that's why I call the message a clean slate, because I believe there's grace to make change, and that it can start now as well. Right, I really had a great time on the 1st of January. I went up into Yonkerzoek and just spent the day just praying and fasting, and the Lord really blessed me with just revealing a lot of things to me and speaking to me about things in my life that, you know, that He'd like me to change and so on, and different approaches. And I was really so blessed. I walked away from there just so excited. And, you know, that excitement, it hasn't been quenched, and I believe that it won't be quenched. He gave me certain challenges and goals for this year. I asked Him to. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lay those challenges to rest until 31st of December this year. And then I'll seek the Lord for new yearly challenges. Obviously, some goals that He'll give you are maybe more long-term or maybe more short-term. But there's a lot that you can do in this year. All right, the Lord determined the seasons and so on, and the times, and He definitely has plans for you for this year. The second principle that I want to leave with you is in Nehemiah 2, verse 12. I want to just take it out of there. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. Can ignore that last part, but I'm just going chronologically through Nehemiah and just taking a few things out here. So he had a release from the king to go and do the work in Jerusalem, but remember what we see here in verse 12, that he didn't share his vision and his plans with everyone around him. I put the principle up there: don't cast your pearls before swine. When the Lord reveals something important to you, when He gives you a revelation of something, in most instances it is not wise to go and blurt it out to everyone around you, because of the fact that the enemy would love some people to just speak badly or negatively about that thing that the Lord showed you, and so doing just steal some of your faith and your resolve to actually follow through with it. Sometimes we need confirmation of what the Lord has spoken to us. If we don't have maybe such a strong conviction yet or whatever it might be, but generally sit on it for a little while. I'm not talking about something that the Lord tells you to do, you know, immediately and you go and do that thing. I'm talking about speaking about it to other people before you've done it. All right. When you do speak to someone about it, generally the first people that you'll speak to are your leaders, your spiritual leaders or whatever, you know, if it's a big revelation that I'm speaking about here, that God has given you something big that He wants you to do for Him or something like that, depending on the time frame and everything, that you go and speak to your leaders about it first, if you feel you need to bounce it off someone. You know, advice is great, but what is all important is who you're seeking the advice from. Because when you get the wrong advice, you know, the enemy would love to lead us astray. People in our lives that love us, unwittingly giving us the wrong advice. They didn't mean to, but that's not what God had in mind. So that's why you need to make sure you share these things with your leaders, you know, and that they, that it's at least believers that you're sharing with here. People that you know, they will pool their faith with you for that thing. Because obviously it's a big thing that we're talking about here. Alright, so don't just go and telling everybody, because people love to speak death over your plans, especially if they're not in the same space. Maybe they had a bad day, and you know how people are. If they down, something that makes them feel better is to maybe bring someone else down, then they're at least not alone. Okay, don't fall into that trap. Don't be that one that gets brought down. All right, the Lord, He spoke to me something big a number of years ago that I actually still haven't shared with anybody. Not a word to anybody, and it's just something that I know is the Lord showed me. He gave me a glimpse of something that's for the future, and the time is not right yet. But when the time approaches, then I will share with my leaders and so on. If it's not the season, you know, I'm afraid of what the enemy would be able to do, you know, if I speak about it in the wrong company or at the wrong time. All right. God's timing is perfect. Okay, so sometimes you'll test maybe your self-control or your patience. I mean, if we want to become like Jesus, we need to learn patience as well. God is extremely patient with us. All right. So that was the second little pearl that we want to drop here today. Nehemiah 4 verse 1. Now when Sanballat, he's the enemy of the Jews, when he heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. You can't please everybody all the time. Okay, this is something that my first pastor, he basically shared with me. This was just a few weeks after I first started coming to church again. And it was in the UK there, and this is one of the things, and it stayed by me, and I've been tested on it a number of times, and my natural response is to want to keep everybody happy, to want everybody to like me. Okay, I really have a tough time if I know someone doesn't like me. Okay, it's challenging, but I know, you know, that's not why I'm here. And the important thing is that all of us need to understand that we can't please everybody all the time. We mustn't place a greater value on man's praise than on God's praise. We mustn't live to please people if it comes at the expense of doing God's will in our lives. Okay, so we must watch out for that. Just know that in this year, not everyone is going to be your biggest fan or the biggest fan of decisions that you make, or, you know, choices that you take. You need to be aware of that, you know, just be sober-minded about that, and just ask the Lord for help in crossing that bridge when you get there. If you're anything like me, maybe you really don't care what anybody thinks anyway, then okay, that is a blessing for you in that sense. You know, this can be difficult when, if the Lord asks you to do something, at the work maybe to go and speak to your boss about something that is wrong at work or whatever, and you realize that having this conversation might kind of have a bit of a confrontational aspect to it, maybe from their side, and maybe you're risking your chances of promotion or something like that. You're risking your popularity in the office by doing this. We must remember that we live firstly for God's praise, for His honor, and not as men pleases. So sometimes this principle will come into play, and it won't be a very easy decision for you to make. But we've got to remember, if we want to do God's will, we can't live to please people the whole time. Okay, Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So we built the wall. See, we're making progress here. Okay, it's good times. We built the wall. It's a great example for us. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. All right, they were working fast, and they were working hard. They were dedicated. They were at the wall 24/7, you know. And just what I want to throw in there is that we can do anything that we put our minds to. This is where the battle is won or lost, as Joyce Meyer would say. All right, it's really, if there's a will, there's a way. You can do it. But our heads need to be screwed on right. We need to be in the right mindset. If you become negative, then you've almost lost all of it. Okay. We need to stay focused in this year. We need to keep our focus on the Lord. When we realize that the Lord is with us, when we live according to that faith and that belief, that conviction, then we will know nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. We can make big plans this year. I want to challenge you, if you haven't set out goals for yourself, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in whatever aspect, if you haven't set goals for yourself, take some time out. Take a day to pray and fast and ask the Lord to help you set some goals. If we're not growing, if we're not changing in terms of becoming more like Christ ultimately, then we're actually losing ground, because the Lord is moving and He's got plans for you. And if we're not moving in those plans, He'll give those plans to someone else, and we will lose out at the end of the day. Okay, so we need to take time out, go and pray and fast for a day, and ask the Lord, Lord, help me set some goals for this year. Help me to do that. You can make your plans big because your God is big. Okay, if your plan doesn't scare you, then it's not from God. Right. I don't mean scare in a negative way. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. I looked and arose, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Do not fear this year. Do not fear. Okay, many of us, our biggest issues and challenges and problems are rooted in fear. And we need to, as believers, the Lord will help us move beyond that. We don't need to fear. Because what is the worst that can happen to a believer? You can go to heaven, you know, if you die, yeah. So praise God for that. So we have been delivered from any need or compulsion to fear. Don't fear the goals or the plans or the things that might seem to come across your path. You know, when God's involved, the plans are going to be impossible. If your plans aren't bigger than you can handle, then they're not from God. That's why I said we need to find out what those plans are for this year, right? Because 2 years ago, God didn't most likely reveal to you what He wants you to do from 1st of Jan to 31 December this year, all right? So we need to take time out and find, Lord, you know, what do you have for me this year? It's something new. God has got something new for you. Unless you've already taken that time out, unless you already know what God has for you this year, otherwise you need to do that. God has got something new for you for this year. And it's big and it's exciting. and you want to be there. You want to be in the center of God's will for your life. You don't have to fear. Your God that fed you last year, that looked after you, that created you, that saved Daniel from the lion's den, that parted the Red Sea, that created the heavens and the earth, He is with you. He can do anything. And He will save all those who call upon His name. You don't have to be afraid of anything. A life without fear is a life of liberty. It's a life where you can accomplish anything. All right. Great. Nehemiah 4, verse 18 to 20. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, our God will fight for us. Okay. So there obviously wasn't enough people, enough Jews to put station one at every, you know, meter along the wall. So they were kind of in clusters and there were open spots, but they had this trumpet to sound the alarm because they were under attack. And so they were building with the building tools, and at the same time they had their swords by their sides. And who said men can't multitask? Okay, we can. There is proof. Do what you can and let God do the rest. They couldn't physically cover every area of the wall. But Nehemiah encourages the people here, okay? We've got a plan, a system in place, all right? God has given us that wisdom. And when we sound the trumpet, then you come to us at that point because we're fighting and we need your help there. All right. Our God will fight for us. It's like, yes, things in the natural aren't perfect. It's a dangerous situation, and it's not like we've got the numbers advantage or anything like that, but God Himself will fight for us. You do what you can. You take the time out to inquire of God for the strategy for this year, how to accomplish your goals. And there's going to be lots of gaps in that from A to Z. You're not going to have every single aspect because God wants relationship with you throughout the year. He wants to talk to you and He wants you to speak to Him every day. So He's not going to give you A to Z and say, see you 31 December and then we'll see how you went. No, He wants, there's going to be gaps, but you work according to that strategy that the Lord has given you. You do your best. And if you miss something, you just pick it up again the next day. You do your best and God will accomplish, He will undertake for you. He will fight for you. He will make it happen. If you stay committed, if you stick to your guns, God will see you through and He will bring the victory. And He did. And Jerusalem got rebuilt. I want to encourage you this year to trust God for the impossible. Trust Him for the impossible. He takes His people from glory to glory. Okay? If you had a particularly fantastic year and you accomplished all your goals, which were tough last year, trust God for even more challenging goals this year. Because God wants to do more in your life. Every day more. Every day more of Him. I want this year, for myself, I want it to be all about God. I want it to be all about God. You know, more than last year. That I may decrease, that I may continually get smaller, that God may increase in me. Not my desires, but more of what God wants in my life. We can all grow in that. But I want to encourage you, trust Him for the impossible. Set yourself spiritual goals. Why not take up the reading plan? Read through the Bible. It's really about becoming more like Christ. Get to know Him more. You cannot become what you don't know. We have to see Jesus in Scripture. We have to hear His voice when we pray. Only then can we become more like Him. Let that be our goal. The last scripture I want to share with you, verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. Okay. Again, the multitasking thing, beautiful. The point is we're in a war. We are in a war. Let us not forget that. Let us not forget that this year. Okay. Many of us, we live comfortable lives. We have everything that we could need. You know, we know that we are well looked after. And sometimes it's easy to forget that we are in a war. We are in a spiritual war that is so real. It's just as real as any war out in the Middle East. Okay? That is just a small manifestation of the spiritual war. But we are in a spiritual war, and this is a ball that I feel we kind of dropped to a certain degree last year in terms of our missional focus. Okay? I think we started off well in 2010, and then last year we kind of shifted the focus to discipleship, and that must be there. So this year, like the builders who had their weapons with them, they were builders and they were soldiers at the same time. This year, from this year, I would like us to hold both aspects before us the whole time, and that is discipleship and also missions. We need to grow, we need to mature in Christ, but we also need to bring new people in terms of sharing the gospel and seeing people come to the Lord. Okay, and that just doesn't just happen here. It happens at our work. It happens wherever we are. All right, that we can always remember. It's not just about me becoming more like Christ. It's about me also sharing the message of the gospel, sharing the love of God in some way with someone else out there that they can know that Jesus loves them as well, that He also has a plan for their lives. Okay, so in terms of discipleship, you know, we had discipleship pairings in the second semester last year, and we might change it slightly to maybe a small group format or something like that, or just a couple of people together. We'll talk about that soon. But then also this year, I want to also bring another emphasis on missions as well. And I want to encourage you, I'll be sending a calendar out short on Google. And then it will just help you maybe to plan ahead in terms of there will be lots of opportunities that you can choose one that will fit into your program, and there will be longer missions, and there will be shorter ones as well. There will be weekend ones. And I'll just quickly share with you, we're going to be helping the next church plant for our region is in Delft. So it's really a huge blessing. That's something that we've been praying for a long time in the region, is that we can start making a greater impact on the flats, that we can venture in there. And we actually, the ball has already started rolling at the end of last year. And as a region, we'll be planting a church in Delft. Okay, Tigerberg up to now has been chiefly involved, but all the churches in the region are invited to participate and to help with that. So we'll most likely have the opportunity to join for a few prayer walks, you know, even go there for a service, you know, have a mini outreach there or something like that. There'll be a few opportunities through the course of this year, and I encourage you, you know, join us for that. There's really, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, sometimes there's such a stigma attached. There are elements in the flats and so on, but you know, this is a community with diverse and great needs, and they have really welcomed the church with open arms, and they've even already given the church as the use of a community center there and everything like that. So it really is amazing, and they've done some prayer walking there already, and not once did anyone feel threatened at all or anything like that. Right, so I just want to encourage you, you know, it's not something that we don't send one person at a time. You know, we go as a group and so on, but there's nothing to be afraid of. I want to encourage you, join us for those opportunities, for those outreaches. More than what it's going to do almost in Delft, will it change your life? Okay. You come back a different person when you've been on outreach. Right. The other local opportunities, maybe not so local, but it's still in, it's in our region. It's in South Africa. But the church, the Shofar Church in Springbok, has been added to our region. Obviously, no, they're a couple of hours north. But we're going to have opportunities as well, maybe weekend opportunities, to go and do some courses with them, to go and teach them some things, to go and fellowship with them, to go and encourage them. Again, the church up there is, they sort of, in an underprivileged area at the moment. They're going to plant another church over there as well, in the town area. But there's tremendous work to be done there, and they really have, through the last couple of years that they've been going, they've really welcomed the visiting groups with open arms, and they're so hungry for the Lord. And we've got great opportunity to go and minister to them. Maybe you know that maybe we've got a strong, we've got a strong children's church in a few months' time. We're strong, a strong band. We've got a strong band, but maybe greater in number as well. And we can send contingents up there to go and help them with their children's church or with their band and things like that. So there's great opportunities. All right. And then I asked you towards the end of last year also to pray about where you feel the Lord is saying we as a church should reach out internationally. I really do believe that God wants us to. So it's local, national, and international. We don't think one is more important than the other, and we don't want to neglect any. And obviously it sounds very exciting and everything, and it is great. The local missions are also great and exciting. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to pray about where you think the Lord wants to send a contingent of us a year at Table View. Obviously anyone can join, but it's unlikely that everyone will be able to go at the same time. But that you'll ask the Lord where He wants to send us, and that you can maybe let me know, mail me what you feel the Lord is saying to you, if you would like to, by the end of this week. And then I can also just see where there's confirmation, and then we can include that on the calendar as well. Okay, so it's exciting time. So two-pronged approach, discipleship and missions. Okay, so that's what we're going to be about this year. That is how we're reaching Table View when we say, I love my Table View, so that we can become more like Jesus through discipleship, so that we can reveal Jesus to them through outreach, that they can know the Lord as well. All right, so from a church side, those are just a few basics. I trust that you will hold fast onto these principles. I know many of you have already got these principles internalized and so on, but we can always grow in them as well. Really like for us to have communion together and just committing ourselves and us together as a church for the Lord's purposes and plans for this year. So maybe if the ushers don't mind handing out the communion elements, and Peter and them, if you don't mind coming forward and just play a bit. Thank you for staying awake today. I know it's probably one of the hotter days of our calendar that we have church together. We have passed the longest day of the year, so by all accounts, the graph should go a bit down, and it should get cooler as the weeks go by. All right. Or maybe until one of our, entrepreneurs buys us a nice big aircon. Also just having communion together by way of consecration. The Lord is big on the first fruits principle as well. We see it in Scripture. If you give of the first fruits, then the Lord can bless the lump. Father God, we just give you thanks again tonight. We give you thanks, Lord, that we can know that we are part of the redeemed, that we can know that we are your children and that you are with us and that you love us, you care about us. It doesn't matter what challenge can come our way or what difficulty, what trial or tribulation, Lord, that you will get us through it, Lord God. Come what may, you are for us, Lord. You are fully committed, faithful towards us, even when we are faithless, even when we are unfaithful towards you. Thank you that you honor your covenant with us. Thank you, Lord, that you prove this to us, your love for us at the cross, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you that we can consecrate this year to you as a church together, as a church family, and that we can declare that your will be done in this year. We realize, Lord, that you have big plans for us for this year. And it is our desire to walk in those ways and to see your plans for us come to fruition as we cooperate with you, as we partner with you. If it was only up to you, Lord, if that is how you ordained it, then the plans would come to pass. But you've asked our cooperation. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for willingness. We pray for hungry hearts for you. I pray, Lord, for us as individuals, Lord, that we'll make time to sit at your feet, to hear what your word is for us. Lord, that we will know you. That would be our greatest desire, Lord. Because if that is in place, Lord, then everything else works out, Lord. And that is if we know you. We pray, Lord, that each of us will come to know you more this year. That you will increase in us. That we will decrease. That your desires will become our desires. So Lord, take us as a church, Lord, and let your kingdom come in and through our lives. Let your kingdom come in us, Lord. Disciple us. Help us to disciple one another. Let your kingdom come through our lives. Lord, help us to reach out to those that are far off from you. Help us to lead the prodigals home. Help us to share your love with others. Lord, as we break bread now, we just do it as a sign of committing to your plans for our lives, committing to knowing you more. We pray, Lord God, that you will make us one, that you'll unite us behind this, Lord. Lord, that we can look back at the end of this year, that we can marvel at the things that you have done in our midst, at your faithfulness. Thank you for the plans that you have for us, Lord. I thank you and I bless you, Lord, for each member of this congregation. Thank you, Lord, that we could come together today, Lord, for the first time this year Lord, we just bless the services that are to come in this year. Lord, we pray that you will honor us with your presence in a powerful way, Lord. Lord, we pray that this will be a place, Lord, of celebration, of joy, of peace. That this will be a place of renewed strength. Lord, that this will be a welcoming place and a loving place. Lord, that this will be a place where we can recharge, where we can celebrate you, and where we can grow closer to you. We pray for times of intimacy here with you. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Lord, we just want to acknowledge and declare once more, Lord, that it really is all about you. Jesus, you are our Savior. You are our King. Lord, let it be our desire, Lord, to submit to you. Let your kingdom come. Let's drink together. So much.